Okay, well, I'm glad I looked at that. Okay. Are you on Exodus chapter 20? Everybody, all right. Okay, won't you stand up with me for a minute? Let's read this verse, and then you can sit, we'll pray, and you can sit back down. Chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right, Lord, we pray you'd bless the message. Lord, the Word of God, so important, so important. So ignored and so overridden by this wicked generation that we live in. Please help us this morning. Pray that your Word would have free course. I pray there'd be liberty this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now I pray your Spirit would be present this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can all sit down. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's the fifth commandment. We're halfway through them here with this. Ten commandments. This is the fifth one. Now, these first five commandments, they're the basic tenets of order for our lives. Please listen to me and think. Can you do that? I mean, think like it's really important. Reason with me. Put the phones away. Put the tablets away. Look at me and listen to me. You can't listen while you're doing that junk. And these are the basic, the first five are the basic pillars of order for righteousness in our lives. For understanding, these are the five things. They're different than the other three in a sense because they're basic. They're pillars. They're not individual commands like thou shalt not steal. It goes on from here. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Those are the rest of them. This one is expounded upon like the one before. I've tried my best to stress that this is the moral law of God. This is not just 10 things that you try your best to do. But nobody can do it, so forget it. That's what I've heard preached all my life, and that is a bunch of junk. This is the basic moral law of God. And this one is the number 5. This is one of the pillars of order in our lives. Order in righteousness and in living life here on earth. These 5 commandments set up the foundation for righteousness. And they're pillars upon which all morality rests. Honor thy father and thy mother, one of them. Just like I am the Lord your God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It stands on the same level. It is a pillar, just like that one is. It's not an option. These are not suggestions. These are not principles to live by. They're God's commandments. They're the foundation of righteousness and understanding about God and life and eternity and what you are and who you are and what you're here for and what life means. The rest of these 10 commandments deal with specific transgressions against one another, other people. Thou shalt not kill somebody else. Thou shalt not, that's murder, by the way. That doesn't include capital punishment, by the way. God commands capital punishment. Any man that sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That was the commandment given to Noah by God when he got off of the ark. It was the establishment of government, human government, to deal with sin like that. Murder is when you take somebody else's life in anger, on purpose. It was selfish intent. There's a difference between murder and killing. And that's what this means. Thou shalt not... Well, anyway, we're not there yet. I don't want to get on that because we're not even there yet. The commandments here, the first 5, are arranged from the top to the bottom. Thou shalt have, I am the Lord your God. That's number 1. That's top. And it goes down from there. In other words, the last 5 will manifest themselves in individuals and societies when the foundation that are laid by the first five has been damaged or destroyed. Now, did you get me there? The first five are the pillars. When you knock them down, then society throws the rest out. Stealing, killing, lying, adultery, immorality is the norm when the first five are knocked down. And by the way, when God is the Lord, there will be no murder, there will be no stealing, there will be no adultery, and there will be no lying or covetousness in your life or in a society where God is the Lord. That's right. And by the way, these last commandments are laid out from the bottom to the top instead of the top to the bottom. There's a progression in the last five from the bottom up. Covetousness. Look at them and how they're arranged here. Covetousness, lying, stealing, adultery, and murder. Progression from the top, bottom to the top. You covet, then you lie, then you steal. Then you commit adultery, all morals are off. And then you'll kill. So there is a progression. Now, Satan has a strategy to destroy righteousness from the earth. He's not going to go about it helter-skelter. He never has, he never will, and he's not doing it now. He doesn't act like a wild man. He's intelligent. And he has a plan and a strategy for taking over and dethroning God and establishing Him as the ruler of the universe, he thinks. Now, he is foolish to think that he's going to be able to do that, but evidently, he thinks he will. I will be like the Most High. I'll set my throne above the heavens, he said. So he's going about it very intelligently and cunningly, and he does it with a strategy. He is systematically taken down God's law one block at a time in the society of men, and he's doing it with a plan. And he uses the same plan for individual lives. He'll use it on you individually. Just as well, it works just as well there as it does with a society, a people, the whole world as a whole. The same plan fits all. Works for all. He starts at the top and he works his way down through God's law, taking it a block at a time, taking it apart. His first attack is on the very first one. If he can cause people to disregard the first commandment, however how he can do it, he can move on to the rest, the next four, pretty easily. He has to deceive them about what it really means to not have any other gods before the Lord. He has to go to work on that. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And people can worship an idol and claim to be obeying the first commandment. They do it all the time. Some of you are doing it right here this morning. Churches are full of people that are doing it. They say, oh yeah, he's my Lord. He's my God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus. I've been baptized. But he's not their God. He has the least influence on their life. They don't get their morals and their understanding from God. They get it from this culture we live in. And so he starts at the top and he works his way down. And he's got to deceive us about what it really means to not have any other gods before him. And once we're blinded about what it really means, then he can take away the authority and the influence and the fear of violating the first commandment. You say, well, yeah, he's my God. While you serve your idols. While your life is really about something else. Do you understand if he is your Lord, your life is about God. And if it's not, then he's not your God. Why is that so hard for everybody? Because the devil's worked on it for years and years and generations, and all these thousands of years he's hammered this world. That you got your life and it's just your life and that's just religion and that's just what some people think and that's just fanaticism. I can have God and I can just go to church when I feel like it and be a little religious once in a while and say a prayer now and then and he's my God. You can't say he's not my God. Once they're blinded, then it means he can take away all the authority and influence, see? And that's exactly, y'all getting me? This is just exactly how it is. Everybody names the name of God, but God is no authority in their life. You can show them what the Bible says about any certain subject, and they just dismiss it right out of hand, because I don't see it that way. I just don't believe that's what it means. And that was a different culture and a different time, and any way to excuse God's authority over their life. They can wear his name as once you violate the first commandment. Then you can wear his name and not live like a Christian and take his name in vain. That's number two. Knock one down, knock the next one down, it follows. Just like dominoes. Knock the first one down, the next one goes. He's no authority. You can serve your idols and God too. You can still claim to be God. You're taking his name in vain. They can wear his name as an ornament for their life, but not honor him with their lives. It then images. They're very helpful to draw people away from focusing on God and what his word says about him. And Satan has no trouble getting people to worship images. And I'm talking about spend all of their time and get all of their information from images, looking at pictures. Yeah. That saying came from this side of the fence. God never said that. God, that's what we talked about a week or two ago on images. Words. It's God's word. And that's why he forbid images, because they're so powerful and they appeal to our carnal nature so much. And that's right. In a carnal state, pictures do speak 1,000 words. Because people will trust an image before they'll ever trust a word, see? And we went through all that. But images are Satan's tool. He has no trouble getting people to worship image, spend all their time and get all their information from them instead of God's word. And once God is not the real authority anymore, Satan destroys all order and creates confusion in the mind and the life and the society. So what we talked about last week about the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's about order in your life. You don't work every day. You don't live every day just like it's another day. There's one day out of seven that is the Lord's day. And it's special and it puts order in your life. And you work 7 days. Don't forget that commandment says 6 days shalt thou labor. Didn't say nights. It said days. That's right. Order. And so Satan, he takes God down. You take his name in vain. Then you do all of your learning. Everything you get is from imagery instead of from the word. And then he takes away order. And once God's not the real authority, he can do that. He can make confusion in the mind and in the life and in the society. And that's just exactly what he's done. Part of that confusion and taking down of the order is to break the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. It's order. God, the Bible helps us to understand this commandment by showing us the contrast when somebody doesn't honor their parents. Now listen to me. I'm just going to read you some definitions. Honor. What do you think it is? Honor. Here it is, a noun. It means the esteem due or paid to worth. It means high estimation, honor thy father and thy mother. It means a testimony of esteem, any expression of respect or of high estimation by words or actions. Listen and remember what I'm saying here. This is the dictionary definition. Dignity. Exalted rank or place. Distinction. Do some of you remember when we were in Peter and we talked about elders in 2 Peter? Remember that? And what we talked about? They're higher in rank. Age is rank. In God's order, it is. Not in this pop culture. Oh, I can't stay away from it. It's not in that. reverence, veneration, or any act by which reverence or submission are expressed as worship paid to the supreme being. Honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Reputation. Good name. As his honor is unsullied. That's what that's the definition of honor. It has to do with value, esteem, regard. It has to do with reputation. Remember a week or two ago we talked about that young man who back in the wilderness with Moses and them, and the young man cursed and blasphemed God. And they brought him out. And God said, stone him with stones till he's dead. And they gave the name of the family, the name of the tribe, who he belonged to, not his name, but his family's name was named in the Bible, who he was. He did not honor his parents because he did not honor their name or their reputation. Now, honor as a verb. Now, this is used as a verb here in this commandment. So let's read that and see what that says. To revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission. That means you're right. Or even if you don't think they're right, you say, okay, yes, sir. Boy, that goes over like a lead balloon, don't it? This generation don't like that. To treat with deference and submission and perform relative duties to. That's honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do that. To reverence, to manifest the highest veneration for in words and in actions. To dignify, to raise to distinction or notice. To elevate in rank or station. To exalt. To treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life. All right, now y'all got the idea. What honor means. Now the Bible shows us real plainly what the contrast is. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. A wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 15:20. The other one was Proverbs 15:5. Despise means to contemn, to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of, to abhor. Do you abhor your father's instruction? Do you despise it? Do you abhor it? Do you scorn it? Do you disdain it? Do you have a low opinion of it? Do you abhor it? Huh? Well, then you are immoral and in violation of God's commandments. And that is sin. Just in case it ain't plain enough for you to understand, that is sin. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Right. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Where are sinners going? To hell. I don't care how many times they've made a profession of faith and how many Baptist preachers tell them, you're okay, you're okay, you prayed the sinner's prayer and you're saved and you've been baptized, I don't care. How many of them tells them that? You violate God's law and you do it habitually, willingly, continually, you're going to hell. I don't care who you are this morning. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. God despises those who break this commandment. It's very important to God. It's the basic moral law of God. You can't be right with God and violate this. I just painted it real plain with the scripture, two sides. Now you know which one you're on right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's God's word. That ain't me saying it. That's God's word. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. I've known different men through the years that got right later in life, and they said, I don't think I'll ever live to be old, because I didn't honor my parents. But God forgives sin, see? That's the thing about sin. God does forgive. He's willing to forgive. That whether you're forgiven or not is up to you. You're going to keep on living in it, you ain't going to be forgiven. You're willing to turn from it, God's willing to forgive. Instantly, just like that. And so will the people of God, too. But you stubbornly keep on in your ways, and you'll be destroyed. For God commandeth, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That's what God says. I don't care what this culture says. And they want to mock at that. And they want to say and use stuff like that to discredit the Bible. They're going to find out when they stand before God how wrong they are. God Almighty said this. This is God's law. It's what He thinks. And what He thinks goes. Whether we agree with it, whether we understand it, whether it goes with our culture or not. It is right. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift. I seen on this Christian devotion site the other day, an article like that. It said, does the Bible in Leviticus justify stone or tell us that we should stone a rebellious child? I mean, it is mocking the Word of God. They also got articles on there about how we ought to drink and how we ought to treat the sodomites and everything else. And they're always on the open the door side. Ought to have liquor in the church. Ought to accept immorality and adultery and fornication as if it's normal. And so they sure ain't going to have no regard for this commandment. And honor not his... All right, blah, 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 blah. Whosoever, this is Jesus that said that, by the way. Yes. Hey, that's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. For Jesus said this with his mouth when his feet were on the ground on this earth. He said, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus Christ said that. The airwaves reverberated on this earth with his voice as he said those words. You say, I don't like it, I don't believe it, and I don't think it's that way. You'll get your chance to stand before God and straighten him out. And honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Wait a minute. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, or by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Jesus said, the Bible says this, but you say this. And thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. See, they made the fifth commandment of none effect by their tradition. And Jesus nailed them for it. It should be obvious to us that Satan has been very successful in taking down God's law and authority in almost every one of this generation. And by this generation, I mean everybody that's a living right now on this earth. I ain't talking about just the young people. It's eat everybody up. The young people don't think much different than the old people now. We've had this pop culture long enough till we've got three or four generations of it living now. And they all feel the same way about everything. It's very clear that the attitude of most toward their parents is much better described by the word despise than by the word honor. You might as well say amen, because that is absolutely the truth. And this commandment here is of almost none effect in the lives, even in the lives of those who profess to be Christians. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's a thing of the past. Meaningless, irrelevant, of no import at all to this generation. And Satan's obvious strategy is to overthrow God's authority in order and establish his own kingdom. This pop culture is the most easy way to see it. How many of you know what that means? What does pop mean? Popular. This popular culture. You know what pop music is? Do you know what a pop star is? Popular. Popular. That's short for popular. Popular culture. Now, you know, these smart alecks, they try to make it like, well, I don't mean none of you. Popular culture in every generation all the way back through history. Whatever they had at that time, that was their pop culture. No, that ain't what we're talking about, and you know better than that. What I'm talking about here, pop culture, is, here's what the Wikipedia says about it. Popular culture, or pop culture, is the entirety of ideas, perspectives, attitudes, images, and other phenomena that are within the mainstream of a given culture, especially Western culture of the early to mid 20th century and the emerging global mainstream of the late 20th and early 21st century. Nailed it. They nailed it down. Popular culture. It appeared in the last 100 years, but especially since the 1950s. That's the war machine of Satan that he has brought out to bring it all down. And he's been very successful at it. It is this pop culture is the systematic taking down of the pillars of righteousness by attacking the law of God, precisely the Ten Commandments. First, the Word of God was attacked and undermined with the new versions of the Bible. Do y'all know when the new versions started coming out? Anybody know? No, in the 1880s. I think 1881, the Revised Standard Version. Then the early 1900s, the New American Standard, and all of those. It was just like an avalanche. Until that year, when the Revised Version came out, the only English Bible that had any influence at all was the King James Version. For 400 years, it's been the main. But when you bring in other versions, what does that create? Confusion and doubt and uncertainty. It's the same thing as what he said in the garden, "Yea, hath God said." Are you sure that's what it means? Are you sure that's what it says? And so, that was the beginning. Listen to me. That was the very beginning of it. But people maintained their religion and a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Since that time, the world's been religious, hadn't it? But has the Lord been our God? That's why they don't want to teach American history before the 1880s. Because if you read any act of Congress, you're going to see God and His name mentioned in everything. And they don't want you seeing that. Because this pop culture is what they want you to be influenced by. And you know, I see all this and we harp and moan and decry this thing about what our founders meant and what they said. It does not matter anymore. Nobody cares what they thought, what they intended, what kind of people they were. That's irrelevant. We have a new culture. Everything's different for us. We don't want what they had. That's right. And so we're trying to point back there at what they said, and this generation does not care. And they despise it. And that's why our government is ignoring the Constitution completely. It's meaningless now. So the people maintain the religion in a form of godliness, taking His name in vain. You got other versions, they destroy the authority, the God as the sole God, no other gods. You take down His word, you undermine the authority of it. Then people go on and try to be religious and all of that, but they're not doing it. They're taking His name in vain. And then the images. Think about it with me here. Are y'all listening? Yes, sir. I'm talking about this popular culture and how Satan has used it. It's his war machine. Images. When did they come along? Not very long before the attack on the Word of God. Mid-1800s. I mean, some of the earliest photographs were from the Civil War era and right before that. Photographs. Nobody's seen one very often. I mean, it's a rare thing. But then when you get past the first of the century, then you start seeing motion pictures. And then movies. And then there's this Hollywood thing. And people go see movies. Go look at images. And it's a thing that changes society. And then TV comes along. And then everybody can sit in their home and look at images all the time. And for the most part, through a decade or two, most people just watched it in the evening when they came home from work and got done with supper and everything and watched TV. And the programs were so wholesome. I mean, Beaver and Father Knows Best and all of that kind of stuff, you know, just, yeah. Andy Griffith, yeah. Everybody enjoyed it so much, just looking at all them images. And it took a big part of their time and their life. And then along comes internet and social media now. And instead of TVs, now we've all got phones and tablets and computers, and we can't go from one room to the next without having it. We can't leave it. We've got to look at it every minute or two because we've got to see what's on there. Do you get it at all? You see what he's done? God warned about the imagery. And nobody even understands. We're so far into this that nobody even understands what the devil's done. He's laughing and mocking at the stupidity and the blindness of the human race. And even those who claim to know God. From occasional viewing in the beginning to now almost constant viewing, images are what control our lives more than any other thing. Imagery. What you see. What you're looking at. Then came the confusion of everything, all in the same time, but also in stages. The Sabbath, no order. And you see, this mass media and all, there were some people who had understanding back in the late 40s when TV came out and started being popular, and before that with the movies, preachers preached against it. And of course, people said, well, you're crazy. There ain't nothing wrong with it. And I don't see no harm whatsoever in what I'm looking at. They could see what those ignorant people could not see. They could see down the road where this is going and where it's leading to. And those people just living in the moment, and it's pleasurable and enjoyable and it satisfies their lust. And so they think it's okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. But the men of God warned people. There were preachers preaching against TV and calling it the pulpit of the devil back in the late 40s and early 50s. And very few would listen. It is his medium for... It is his pulpit. It is the devil's pulpit. You're looking, you're listening to him, not God. God's not your God anymore. The devil is your God. I often wondered back early on when I was a Christian, when I'd read about, and the whole world was going to worship the devil. And I thought, how in the world could that ever happen? I see it right before my eyes. I see it right before my eyes now. That's what everybody's doing. They're worshiping him. They get their information from him. And I'm talking to you this morning. How much do you think of what you are and what you feel and what your opinions and your views and your ideas, how much of what you are is from God and how much is from this pop culture that you live in? Halloween, it's part of this pop culture. Our ancestors didn't do such nonsense. The way we celebrate Christmas is part of this pop culture. And you can't give it up. You love it. It's so much a part of your... It's from the devil himself. All that is. And you have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And you are a part of this culture, this pop culture, these things that you just love and cherish, this Christmas spirit. I thought about this a long time ago. Even my grandparents had no idea what that was. When they were growing up, there wasn't no Christmas spirit. It was the birth of Christ. And people, that's what the whole thing was about. What is this Christmas spirit? It's part of the pop culture. It's part of this same culture that has knocked down the Word of God and the law of God. It is Satan's war machine against God, who you claim to love. And you're part of it. And you will not turn loose from it. And you will not separate yourself from it. And there's a showdown coming. And what are you going to do? If you love this world, this pop culture is exactly what the Bible is talking about when it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're a friend of this world, you are the enemy of God. It's the pop culture he's talking about. This being a part of everything that's going on. Remember what we read about it? It's the entirety of ideas, perspectives, attitudes, images, and other phenomena that are within the mainstream of given culture. And I read another definition, and it included memes. You know, M-E-M-E-S. That's what you see on Facebook all the time, them pictures with words on them. I learned that last night. So, the division of the youth from the rest of society into their own culture. That's what pop culture has done. Now see, I'm not off of the mark. I'm not off of the subject. I'm right on it. I mean, right bullseye. The pop culture in the late 50s to now has separated the youth into a separate culture. A separate culture. Pop culture, it's the system of the world that controls the thoughts and attitudes and ideas and perspective of the masses. And it's the brainchild of Satan himself. And it's designed to undermine and bring down the law of God and its authority on this earth. And so one of the most obvious effects of this pop culture and how it's brought down the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. You listening to me this morning? Listen to me. It created what has been called a generation gap. You ever hear that? The generation gap simply means that the older folks are stupid and the young people are so much smarter that there's no comparison. Young people are cool and old people are stupid. That's the generation gap. And that was created by the pop culture. The youth were separated into their own culture with their own music. Number one thing to separate them out. Music. You know that's right. Now, they have their own music. They have their own language. This punk talk, this hip talk, all these slang words that young people use. And they're so gullible. You young people are so gullible. You're saying words that sodomites put in your mouth. And you don't even know it. You're glorifying them and exalting them and promoting and advertising and saying what they do. And you don't even know it because you're so cool. Fashions. Young people have their own fashions. They have their own language. They have their own music. They have their own fads. They have their own perspectives. On every subject, they're smarter. They got their own ideas. They got their own perspective. I got news for you. Before this popular culture came along, there was no such a thing as that. Young people aspired to be like the wise old people. They wanted to be like their father, like their grandfather. They didn't despise them and disdain them and try their best to distance themselves from them with their cool friends so they wouldn't be thought of as not cool. The devil did this. He did it with this popular culture. He did it with music to start with. And he still uses it. They've been separated from their families and grouped together in public schools night and day. Now, from the time they're 3 years old, they're taken off to the public schools. And it's the government indoctrination centers. Yeah. They spend all their time there. Everything's taken up. Nights, weekends, everything. When I was in school, there was no such a thing as a ball game on Wednesday night. There wasn't even a ball game just once in a while. We didn't have ball games all the time. We didn't have activities at school all the time. We went to school and we learned stuff and we went home. Yeah. They're separated. It's part of the separation and the making of this creation of this youth culture. They're separate from everybody else. They're the cool part of humanity. Everybody else is just stupid old ignoramuses. Does that offend you? Well, that shows what side you're on. Yes, sir. Because I'm nailing it right to the wall this morning, and it's the truth. And I keep losing my place. The popular culture, through its mass media and its music and its schools and now social media, applies so much pressure on the youth to conform in order to be cool or accepted by the rest. It's peer pressure. It's not cool to respect your parents. It's cool to despise them and disdain them. That's what your music says. That's what your friends say. That's what your language says. That's what your attitude says. That's what you're taught in school too. They are. Everybody attacks this. I mean, this poison gets in everybody. Grandparents won't support parents even. And then when the kids turn out rotten, they blame it on them. Yeah. There's an order to God's creation, and that's the order that it's supposed to be. And this is basic moral law. Honor thy parents. Honor your mother and father. Your father and mother. That's one of the pillars of righteousness. If you're a grandparent and you don't do that, you're violating God's fifth commandment. Because you're undermining it. And you're sowing seeds of rebellion. Go ahead and criticize. Go ahead and tell the kids how wrong their parents are. Go ahead. You're a fool. I don't care if you're gray-headed or what. You're a fool. I have never done that. If I have, I don't know it. And I never will. I don't care if the parent is wrong. I'm not going to tell that child your parent's wrong. You don't need to listen to them. You better just... What a fool. What a fool! What an ignorant person of the Word of God and of the ways of God and the law of God. And they're influenced by this pop culture that's of the devil. They're of the world. They're not of God. And it's not cool to respect your parents anymore. This pop culture has destroyed all morality. So that most of the time it's almost impossible for children to honor their parents. Because many don't even know who the parents are. I know cases where people are trying to find out who is their father. Who is my father? I don't even know. Makes it kind of hard, don't it? It's hard to honor their parents because their parents are so unworthy of honor because of their low, immoral, and selfish lives that they keep on doing. The popular culture has done so much more to take down the pillars of righteousness by attacking the law of God. But this is what we need to see this morning. Man, I'm really eat up with that. I don't know how much I could preach on that, but I'd like to really go into that because I've seen it. I've understood this thing and how much we're eat up with this. And I just wonder if you would even be honest enough this morning to examine yourself and just really give yourself a thorough check of how much of you is of God and how much of you is of this culture that you live in. Your beliefs and your feelings and your opinions and your loves and affections and your nostalgia and all of that, what is it in? Guarantee you, it's more in this world than it is in the things of God. Man, that ought to jar you this morning. If you'd realize what I'm saying to you, it ought to jar you. Because we're going to stand before God right away. And then it ain't going to just be me. You're not going to be able to dismiss it like you can dismiss me this morning. You can say, that's just Mike. That's just what he thinks. And he just got to be that way. Because No, you ain't going to be able to do it. You're going to find out when you stand before God, I told you the truth this morning. How do children honor their parents? Just let me give you two, three, four little things here, and I'll quit. Children should do their best to be the comfort of their parents and not their grief. That's pretty simple, ain't it? How much do I need to explain that? I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. The father of a fool hath no joy. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's not honoring your parents. Be a joy. Bible instructs us to how to treat elders in the church and the people that preach to you and minister to your soul. Live so that they can do it with joy and not with grief. I mean, make it easy for them. Make it easy for your parents. Be their joy and not their grief. Be their comfort and not their sorrow. They should be the joy and not the sorrow of those who brought them into this world and who suffered and labored and sweated and wept and bled for them. You ought to be their joy, not their grief. You oughtn't to bring their hoary heads down to the grave with sorrow. They ought to have some hope in their children. That's honoring your parents. Children should see to it that their parents are taken care of when they're old and when they're and that they're not abandoned for somebody else to take care of. That's what the Bible means when it says that if any man provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel. The context is about taking care of your elderly. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about a man working to provide for his family. He's talking about all of us taking care of the elders. It's real important to God how we respect and take and treat those that are older than us. Honor thy father and thy mother. And father and mother are just interchangeable in the Bible with grandfather and grandmother. The Bible lots of times calls grandfather father. Your fathers. Honor thy father and thy mother. That includes them too. That means when you're young, you ought to respect and regard and esteem highly those who are older and who've went before you and who've wept for you and bled for you and sweat for you and provided for you and prayed for you. And it's the height of ungodliness to count it as nothing and trample it under your feet. And this pop culture says that's what you ought to do. And that ought to be able to, you ought to be able to see that's the devil as easy as anything. He's abominable. He's wicked beyond description. And you're listening to him. In your music, in your entertainment, in all that you drink in from this culture around you, you're listening to him. And he is sowing it in your heart and your mind, and you're taking it in, and it's growing and it's producing fruit in your mind, in your soul, and in your life. When are you ever going to stop it? When are you ever going to wake up and realize what you're being poisoned to death? Spiritually. Remember when they are old and feeble in body and mind. That they loved you and helped you and tolerated you when you were young and foolish and you didn't have an excuse. Remember that you are their legacy, their testimony, their hope for their posterity. If they've failed in their lives to do what's right and be a good influence, then you are their only hope for redemption from a wasted life. You honor them. I had a guy stand and tell me the other day, and he ain't, you know, he probably ain't worth killing. But he's telling me about his kids and how one of them's fixing to graduate from college, and that's what he said. He said, boy, if I ain't never done nothing else right in my life, he said, I'm proud of that. Children. Children's children are the crown of old men. Children should seek and heed the counsel of their parents. That's part of honor. Not despise it. How much do you listen to? Huh? How much are you interested in? Whenever you do grow up, you'll realize that you're not as smart and that your parents did know things you didn't know. When you grow up, you'll realize that. If you don't realize that, it's because you haven't grown up. You're immature. You're still in the madness of and ignorance of youth. You ought to seek it, and you ought to heed it. Those who fail to honor their parents are violating the commandment of God, and therefore they're as immoral as a harlot or a thief. Yeah. That's right. Whether you accept it or not, that's right. Now, do you see? I mean, this morning, do you see even a little glimpse of what's going on? Look at the big picture. Back up and look at this thing. Can't you see what's going on? And what are you going to do about it? Your little part. Your little life. You going to be part of the devil's army? Are you going to stand with God? If you're going to stand with God, you're going to have to separate from this world, this pop culture. You're going to have to stop getting your facts and your information and your morals and your ideas and your philosophies from this ungodly world. And get them from, where are you going to get them? God. The Word of God. I mean, it all just comes down to simple. There's the righteous and there's the wicked. There's people who believe it and people who don't. And on the side of that, there's a lot of people who say they believe it, but they don't. Saying it ain't enough. Ain't good enough. Not the hearers of the word shall be justified before God, but the doers of the word. Do you get it? You ain't got no hope of heaven. You got no reason to hope in heaven if you don't live a holy life. And that ain't works. That's just the fact of the way it is. You're either of God or you're not of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. That's what the grace of God teaches us. That's what it does. So you're either one of them or one of us. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." He just divides it in two. Black and white. Get on or off. You're either in or out. And somewhere in your life, you're going to have to make the choice. And if you are in indecision, you've made your choice. As long as you won't choose God, you're choosing the devil and the world. And ever how you want to sugarcoat it and rephrase it, it don't make no difference. That's where you are. If you're part of this world and this culture and you're cool and you can't get saved because you got to be cool, you're the devil, man. And you're going to bust hell wide open. That's right. Let's stand. Get you a songbook. Open it up to 282. This song here says, "While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You've wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God thy face, but today accept His grace. Why not now? In the world you've failed to find aught of peace for troubled mind. Come to Christ, on Him believe. Peace and joy you shall receive." And that is the truth. Yes. Why not now then? Why not now? "Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day. He will keep you all the way." Yes, He will. Why not now? Why not now? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," said Agrippa to Paul. "Almost, but not quite." Felix said he trembled when he reasoned of judgment to come and all that. And he said, "I'll call for you when I have a convenient season, Paul. Go thy way for now." But he said, "I'm going to get saved, Paul. You've convinced me, but not right now. There's some things I got to get straight in my mind. I got to work it out, and I got to get it straight before I... And Felix died and went to hell. Today, if you hear His voice, if you hear His voice, and if you hear His voice today, you're one blessed person. Let me tell you that. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Why not come to Jesus now? When are you going to do it? You're going to be singing after it's all over, "One Day Too Late"? You know, there's no second chance. Let's bow. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you one more time. Why not now? God spoke to your heart. Why don't you just come? We don't have to be playing a song. We don't have to have, any big scene or anything like that. You just need to respond to God. You going to dishearten yourself and just stand there and hang on? Again? One time it'll be the last time you do that. It's very offensive to God. Very offensive to Him. When you hear the truth and His Spirit pulls at your heart and reveals it to you and you push Him away. Grieve not the Holy Ghost of God. He's a person and He gets, you know, He has feelings too. Boy, He paid a great price for you. How in the world can you turn away? That's what I'd like to know. How could you go turn back to these weak and beggarly elements of the world? All this nonsense and foolishness and ungodliness. Are you going to come? I don't give invitation very often. I ought to more, probably. But now, I'm telling you, now's the time. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and I thank You for the liberty this morning to preach, and thank You for the message. And Lord, You've stirred my soul with it and opened my understanding to things that I didn't see as clearly as I do now. And Lord, I pray this morning for these here, lots of young people. Lord, I pray that through all of the mist and the fog, they could understand enough of this to realize where they're at. They're in a world that's been absolutely taken over by Satan himself. He's running everything. And He's feeding their souls through the imagery, through the world system that they're all entangled in. All of us are. And Lord, it is a battle to deal with and to overcome for all of us. And Lord, I pray that they would have enough understanding this morning to realize just what's going on and start setting up their defenses against it and resisting the devil instead of just letting him drag them along like on a chain. Lord, I pray they'd stand up for Thee. I pray they'd stake their claim and drive some stakes and stay there. And Lord, help them. Lord, give courage to those who are wavering right now. Lord, help them to understand that it's not in a prayer or a ritual or anything like that. They just got to recognize Your Lordship. They got to recognize their sinfulness and come before You and trust You. Lay it all down at Your feet. And Lord, pray that they would help Lord. And now as we leave here, that we'd all look at this world a little differently. And that we'd look at Your law a little differently. And we could see where the battle's at here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Anybody got a word before we go?